Dirt roads to rock crawling, two-buck Chuck to screaming eagle, moonshine to 50-year-old single malt. We talk about it all here on Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey with your hosts, Jason and Chris.
Welcome to Wheelin' Wine and Whiskey, episode 67, in the home studio. Sadly, in the home studio, back from Meadow Lake, Fordyce Creek Trail. Chris is sitting across from me. How the heck are you, Chris? Welcome back to hell.
No. I'm here. Yep. It sucks.
It's smoky. It's hot.
Fires.
This is what I'd imagine hell to be like.
It sucks. You know, you've been home a little less than a week.
Have I? Because I haven't been, like, sleeping in my bed.
I know, right? But you rolled out of Meadow Lake last Sunday, correct?
Last Sunday morning, yes. 7:30 in the morning.
I was driving to work at 4:15 a.m.-ish on mm-hmm. Sunday morning. And the lightning show was beyond epic.
Ugh.
It was pretty and it was cool. But as I'm driving along, I'm saying this is not going to end well.
No. No, all these people were taking photos and, you know, posting it. Oh, this is so cool. Dry lightning. No, no, the whole state's on fire.
Yeah,
yeah,
no.
Great.
There's consequences.
We'll get into that a little bit later. Let's talk about the fun stuff. So
let's do that.
Well, so our last podcast, we were at Meadow Lake.
I can't remember that far back. Let's replay it. Hold on.
Okay. We don't have the fancy soundboard like... Snail Trail, you know.
No, we don't. But okay, now I remember. I just did a quick playback. So yeah, we're good.
Okay, okay. So yeah, we were up there. We had run, you had run the trail.
That's right.
And so we were talking about that. And we had Samurai James and Lady Samurai there. And
Ultra 4 Jones
and his... Ultra 4 car.
And his better half.
And a way better half, Mallory.
That's right.
So, anyways, that was a blast. Just started out the week with Amber's family coming in. You know, we had our core group, which was like 20 freaking people.
Oh, it was a revolving door for the whole week.
And then, you know, a few people trickled in and out. We had a Hot Rod show up.
That's right. I missed him.
Rodney with a latte... machine.
He rolled in shortly after I
machine.
Left.
Yeah.
I guess he took my campsite.
He did. He parked exactly where you were. So it was almost like, I mean, you know, the R-Pod didn't look anything like the Lance Camper, but, no. You know, he used your site and it worked out well.
Good. Well, it wasn't unoccupied for very long.
I think
long.
He liked being on the outskirts of camp too and not right in the middle of all the hubbub.
Well, there was some hubbub.
There was plenty of hubbub going around. Don't drink that stuff.
No. We'll talk about that a little bit.
Oh,
okay. I wasn't there for it, but you're the one. That's
so you rolled out Thursday morning.
Yeah, oh, dark 30.
Pretty early. I didn't even hear that big old diesel start up and leave. Did you put it on electric mode to get out of camp or what?
I pushed it.
Oh, you pushed it out of camp.
Yeah,
okay.
I opened the, you know, we have the driver door open and I just kind of pushed it along. You know, I got hidden muscles, man.
Apparently.
No, that Cummins is quiet.
I didn't even hear. You, I woke up and I open up the door and you're gone.
Yep, I was gone. So
and Lorenzo jumped down out of bed and goes, "What the hell? He left?" And I said, "Yeah."
I took his bowl.
And he did shed a little tear.
No, I don't.
No, you know why he shed a tear? Because you took the last of the old elk.
I did. That was my bad. I got halfway home. I'm like, holy shit, I should have left the old elk.
Lorenzo goes, Chris has the old elk, right? And I go, yeah. And he started to cry.
Oh, boy.
I was just like, son of a gun.
No. Sorry about that. But I want to get an early start because I just don't like that first 3 miles of that road.
So. No. It's a, you know, what, it take you an hour and a half?
About an hour and 10, hour and 15 to get to pavement. So
yeah.
I was, you know, I literally put it in drive at 20 after 5 and crept out of camp and...
22-5?
20 after
oh,
5.
Oh, 20 after 5, so 5:20.
And yeah.
Not to be mistaken with 4:20.
No, 4:20. Anyway, yeah, I slept, got a good night's sleep, and I had pre-packed pretty much everything. All I had to do really was throw my camp chair in, run the slide in, lift the jacks, and go.
Yeah.
And, you know, while the engine was warming up, I walked around, just checked all the straps on the Jeep. And
you missed dinner Thursday night.
Thursday night? Was that?
Lamb night.
Oh, yeah, lamb night.
Lamb chop
night. No, I was at home by that time, eating sweltering Cheerios. In the heat. Yeah, eating Cheerios. Yeah, no. It once I got back out to the real world and headed down the hill, I think I was in just east of Sacramento by 8:30.
Yeah,
and it was already 85 degrees outside,
hot.
And I'm like, oh crap, this is gonna suck.
Right.
So,
what? And then you had some excitement on the way home, I understand.
I did. You know, it was funny as I was kind of reflect back on the trip coming home. I stopped near Bass Pro to fill up with fuel. I had plenty of fuel, but I just wanted to stop when it was convenient. I felt a little vibration when I was just before fueling up. I was like, what was that? You know, and I got off the freeway, pulled into a Chevron, tanked up, took on, you know, 17 gallons of fuel or whatever. And I, as I'm filling up, I walk around and check everything.
Sure.
Straps, tires, blah, blah, blah. Everything looked great. I visually checked the tire, not just kicking them, but I visually checked the trailer tires. Because I remember when you were at clinic last month.
Yeah, had that little belt
cheek,
separation.
Butt cheek
tire. It did.
So I'm kind of aware of that situation potential now. So I didn't see that. So I figured, oh, shit, whatever. I was just maybe a weird road section or something. So I got, you know, finished filling up and got back on the freeway and was bopping along. No problems. Just cruising along, listening to podcasts, you know, doing 65, 70. Got on I-5 heading south. About right near Flying J, just north of Stockton, near Lodi, whatever that area is.
Right.
Kaboom! Whole truck starts shaking. I'm like, holy shit, what was that? I pulled off the freeway. I was on I-5, pulled off real quick, you know, got to the shoulder, and I'm like, Jesus, what the hell just happened? I'm thinking I blew a truck tire, right?
Oh.
Which would have sucked, because getting the spare tire out with a truck camper on is the least fun thing on the planet. But turned out it was a trailer tire, so the passenger side back tire, rear tire on the, I have a tandem axle trailer, just freaking exploded.
It just blew up.
And I don't know why it happened, other than just it decided it was its time. But, you know, I checked the pressures, and I actually, Morflate plug, when I was airing up my rig on Wednesday to load it on the trailer, I used the Morflate, and then when I got the Jeep up on the trailer, I used the Morflate again to equalize and double-check the tire pressure on my trailer tires. So I know Wednesday afternoon when I finished airing up and checking everything, the trailer tires were at 65 PSI like they were supposed to be, and but I don't know, man. Something let go. So
and they're not that old. I mean, you know, it is just trailer tires are tough.
They take a beating.
Yeah,
they do. And it was the, you know, the outside ones, the passenger side ones are the ones that always hit the curbs, always, and because they're the blind side.
Yeah.
So whatever, I had a spare, but I'll tell you what, changing a tire on the side of I-5 is the least fun thing you can do.
Well, at least you were on the passenger side, not the driver's side.
Yeah, it's scary. I mean, you got 80,000-pound big rigs going by at, you know, 70 miles an hour.
Shakes the whole operation.
Oh, my God. And you're looking up. I look up, and, you know, the entire truck and camper are shaking side to side from the wind. And God damn. I just get, like, let's get this tire changed and get the fuck out of here.
You didn't have the impact gun with you or anything, huh? You had to do old manual.
I had to do I made the sound.
Did you? Okay.
But it was quick. You know, it's like, this is NASCAR shit. I got to get this done right now. I think I was on the side of the road for about 20 minutes because I was scared shitless.
Yeah.
I just wanted to get it done and get the fuck out.
Yeah, no
so,
kidding.
Fortunately, no incident. Got the spare on. Got going
home.
Again. Got home. I was 55 miles from
home
when
it
happened. So got home with no incident. It's just, you know. Get home, my wife comes out. She's like, what the hell happened to your tire? Because the spare is just obliterated. You know, I'm like, well, and there's shrapnel still on the deck of the trailer when I got home. But I took the tire into America's Tire on Wednesday to get a replacement.
Sure.
And the guy's like, we can't patch that.
Yeah, can't patch that.
Like,
no,
I think you might
think
be
so.
The same guy that said that to me a few weeks ago when I got that RV tire over here.
Can't patch that.
That joke's old. Yeah. So. Anyway, so that was my excitement coming home. I hated to come home. I'm glad I made it home safely after that little excitement. But, and then it got hot, and it's been hot since.
Man.
Hot and fiery and smoky.
Okay. Well, would you like to hear about all the fun you missed out on?
Yeah, let's go back and enlighten
diddly,
you.
Diddly, 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 diddly. A little Wayne's World reference there.
I'm telling you.
So, you left Thursday.
Yes, I did.
And so we got up and we were all packing for trail day. We had the Utah boys come into town.
And I saw Dan.
Yeah, you saw Dan and Timmy.
Yep.
And Brew.
I don't know him. Steve wasn't there, huh?
Nope, Steve didn't make it. Something about having to shave his cat or something. I don't know.
Wow.
There was something going on there.
How'd that work out?
I don't know. Didn't ask. Don't ask, don't tell. Of course, Robert and Donna from Nevada.
Right.
Winnemucca.
And their rolling bar.
Oh, my gosh. That was fun when they rolled into camp, huh?
Oh, my God.
Their school bus. So they have this killer school bus that they converted into an RV. And it's a... what do you call it? It's a school bus with the nose on it. You know, it's not a flat in front.
Yeah,
you know,
it's not the cab over.
Not the cab over, but it's got the nose. Anyways, it's a cool looking school bus. And up above the windshield, instead of school bus, they put sleeps too.
Right, right.
Yeah, meaning there's two people. Don't even ask because there's not another bed for you.
You're not going to fit.
This is our RV. But it's really well laid out, very cool. You and I wandered into their camp when they were just getting set up, and they have this table that they put out, and it literally looks like they're going to open up a liquor store.
What did you say? You've seen bars with less
inventory? Yeah, I've seen bars with less inventory, man. And they just started, and I mean, they had like a couple bottles of everything.
Oh my God. Yeah, they shouldn't have to leave.
No.
To restock.
No, no.
And if they did, then they're doing it right.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Or wrong.
A lot of different flavored moonshines. And, it was cool. But anyways, so that was trail day. So we had said, somebody mentioned like 8 o'clock. I said, no, let's go at 9.
Right.
You know, so 9 o'clock was like our leave time. So at 9 o'clock, we were pretty much ready to go, and we started heading up there. Well, they weren't ready yet. They were still in their pajamas eating breakfast, and I'm like, okay. Well, I said, hey, we're gonna head down. You guys will catch up to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we did. And sure enough, they were able to catch up with us. So we ran down 5-4, you know, down into 3,
uh-huh.
And went all the way down to committee and stopped down there and had lunch and a great time. You know, everybody. Just kind of hung out for a good hour and a half or so.
Mm-hmm.
Got a group picture. I'll have to find who took that photo.
We need to post that.
So, yeah, Robert goes, hey, you know, let's go get a picture by the bar. Well, by the bar? I don't know of any bar down here at committee. He goes, no, over here. And sure enough, there's a campsite, a killer campsite I didn't even know about that's off in the trees across from the water.
On the other side?
No, on our side, on our normal side, trail side.
Okay.
And it's off to the right as you're going down the trail. And, you know, they took a tree and cut it in half and it's at bar height.
Okay.
You know, and I'm like, well, that's pretty cool. So we all just hung out there, told a few jokes. You know, I had to tell the classic Timbuktu joke.
Oh, yeah.
But it was funny. I had a new audience there, you know. So anytime there's new people around, I get to tell my joke. So that was a blast. And then it was time to go play because right there, there's a little buggy playground
right.
There, you know, a bunch of different steep hills, granite slabs mm-hmm. and stuff to play on right outside a committee. So they were getting after it, man. It was getting rowdy. It was cool. It was fun to watch, you know. And then, so I almost rolled there last year because it's such a steep hill.
Okay.
And the front end gets pretty light on my buggy, as we know. And so I was one of the last ones to go up it. And I think everybody had made it at that point. People took different lines, and there was one crazy line that this guy from Utah took, and I was just like, dude, that was badass. He crawled it pretty much, and it was a nice, well done line. Anyway, so I go up to the wall, and then heated up the stickies.
Right.
And they just, when they started smoking, and you could see, I mean, just pure black, the rubber, you know, fresh rubber. And so Robert comes running over. He goes, back up and hit it. I go, yeah, that's the plan. I just, you know, got to keep the front end down here.
Right.
So I was able to, I grabbed first gear, lit it up, and then I grabbed second gear, and it just grabbed, and then it just popped right up over. So I was like, right on.
Just going to send it.
Yeah. And then the next section is really gnarly little notch, granite notch, bouldery, you know, but traction. It's slick because it's been polished from everybody trying to drive up it.
Sure.
But, you know, there's no loose rocks. It's all solid granite. Okay. That's all undulated and stuff.
So it's one giant mass.
It is. It's a giant mass. And so we got into there. And last year I tried and tried and couldn't make it up this obstacle. You know, I was just like, okay, damn it. But this year went in there and with the tire sticky, I got in there and just worked it a little bit, and then it popped right up over. So I was like, right on. This is freaking awesome. So we were all at the top and BSing, and then Ultra 4 Jones was down there.
Oh,
well, one other guy came up behind me, and he had some problems. I don't want to say computer problems, but there was something. He was having fuel delivery problems.
Okay.
So, Timmy.
There's pills for that.
Timmy. It is there. There you go. So he had some problems, and they were getting it figured out. So he made it up, and then it was Ultra 4 Jones time. And Dan was there next to me, and I go, okay, Dan, this is where you're going to meet your new best friend right here.
Just going to send it.
And so Ultra 4 Jones goes in there and just freaking lights it up on the hill.
Oh, yeah.
Just rowdy, man.
I think I saw some of the video.
Yeah, so I posted the video of him going up this section that I'm describing right now in the Insta story. And he launched it, literally launched it, front tires off the ground, cresting over the top of this thing. And he didn't lift, never lift.
Was Mrs. Hashtag Ultra 4 Jones in the car?
She was not. She was down fishing in the river.
Oh,
she was down. It was her birthday, by the way.
Oh, that's right.
It was her birthday, so she went down fishing by the river and trying to enjoy the peace and quiet with, you know, V8s and tires squealing in the background.
Yeah.
But anyway, so he made it up that, and we were just, everybody was cheering. He put on a hell of a show. It was really cool.
Cool.
So yeah, and then Dan actually dropped the F-bomb. I've never heard him comment on anybody watching anybody, you know, else wheel with an F-bomb. He just was there, and Ultra 4 Jones was just getting after it, and he goes, holy fuck. And I go, oh, see, I told you, this guy is your new best friend. He goes, I like this guy.
Nice.
So it was a blast. So then we continued up the hill. And
so this is all still down near committee.
We're all at committee. So now we're continuing up to, and I really like that section of trail. I mean, that whole section of trail from committee up to five is just a blast. And
so this is just, let me interject real quick.
Go ahead.
Last year when we did the river run, and I was right seating in the buggy. We went across the committee, and we were on.
We went across the river.
We had lunch on the other side.
Correct.
And then when we left an hour later, whatever,
yep.
We drove back across. You drove
water.
Back across.
Yep.
And you left the river at a area that I didn't think it was a good idea to leave the river. Because, A, the tires were now wet, and I figured wet tires weren't sticky tires anymore.
Uh-huh.
And it was literally, the buggy just climbed right up it.
It did. That steep section.
Is that kind of the area you were playing?
Well, yeah, we weren't playing right there by the water. It's just beyond that section.
Okay.
So if we would have continued straight
uh-huh.
out of the river, then you would run right into the section that I'm talking about.
Okay, I think I know what you're talking
about. And anybody
about.
That's been there, our listeners, you know exactly where I'm talking about. I mean, it's just a fun little play area for
sure.
for all kinds of different lines.
Cool.
So we headed back up the trail. And then, you know, you start getting into the trees, and then you get near the base of Windchill 3, and there's Turtle Rock.
Oh, yeah.
And I that's just a cool little section of trail.
Well, you kind of got to, if you're heading up the trail, you got to kind of bury your tires into the hillside on the left side.
Yeah.
At least the narrow wheelbase brings.
Well, even going up, you're going up. Yeah, going up, it's the left side. Coming down, it's the right side that you're hugging. And it's got this huge granite, you know, boulder. That's like, you know, rounded off. It's got a point on it. It's like an A, you know, but it's not parallel with the trail. It's running at like a 45 degree angle.
Right.
And it just screws everybody up. I haven't seen one wheelbase that just, you know, walks right through there. Right. Now, I do have to say the 43s make it very simple.
Oh, I'm sure.
Or easier, because you don't drop into the abyss as bad.
Hole that's right there on the right side.
So we were coming back up, and there was this guy with a side-by-side, Andrew. And his dad.
Okay, these are not
part of our group. They just came down with the side by side for the day, and this side by side is well built. It's not your stock, and he was well equipped.
Okay,
so he got hung up pretty bad in the turtled on Turtle Rock.
Okay,
so I was behind him, but I stayed back. I didn't want to put pressure on him. Like, I mean, we weren't in any hurry.
Sure.
And so he's trying to work it and working the wheels and everything, and I hear the snap, the distinctive axle snap. And I'm like, okay, shut her down. So I went up there, and I go, yeah. I go, it sounds like a shaft. And he goes, yeah, I think so, and this. And I go, okay. I said, well, you want to try winching off this? Okay, yeah, let's winch. And it was a tough situation. He had a nice winch on that thing, and so we snatch blocked off a tree. But it wasn't moving easily, and then we go, he goes, well, I got spare parts here, know. So I go, well, let's just fix it here. You're in a good spot. The tire's up in the air basically. So Dan came up, and we were putting weight on so this was the driver's rear that broke.
Okay.
So we were putting weight on the passenger front to give it that counterbalance, right? And get that tire up in the air without a jack or anything. And so then Dan finds this rock and sets it in between, the wheel and the shock tower. Okay. And so it was able to balance in there. So it was like a natural jack stand.
Perfect.
And the guy brought out power tools, impacts. I mean, he had everything. He was very well equipped.
Was this
impressed.
Four seat side by side?
No. Well, you know what? Maybe it was.
I mean,
it was. It was a four. It had to be a four seat because he was pulling stuff out. I don't know. It was pretty amazing the stuff he was pulling out. So he just, we just sat there and watched him work, and a few people handed him tools and stuff, and he had that thing fixed in like 19 minutes.
Really?
I think somebody timed it.
New axle shaft?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and like hub, rear hub, everything. I mean, he just like rebuilt the thing right there in front of us. I'm like, well, that's impressive.
Wow.
So put it back together, lowered it down, winched him off the rock, and he goes, I think I'm three-wheel drive now, because he thought the front locker was not working either. Well, apparently it was working intermittently, it was working because he took off. And Tommy and them were already up at the top of windshield 3.
Okay.
So I said, hey, the guy's coming up with a side-by-side. He may have to get winched, so get ready. But he was able to make it up.
The bypass.
Yeah, the bypass. And so we went in there, and then, of course, some of the guys had to play in windshield 3. And,
nice.
And Dan put on a hell of a show in there. I mean, just freaking crazy.
I saw some of that video too.
So did Ultra 4 Jones. He got up. So I had Ultra 4 Jones air down. I said, dude, just air down, make it easier on you and the trail. And so he was able to make it up that first step in windshield 3. That's just the 5 foot ledge.
On
and
the right
he
side?
he tried the day before and couldn't make it.
Right.
So anyways, he made it up and he was doing really well. But then again, those last two big boulders in the center at the top, he just couldn't clear them, with those smaller tires at 37s.
Yeah.
So, but he put on a hell of a show, and then Dan put on a hell of a show. It was impressive to watch this stuff.
Anybody make it?
No.
I thought somebody said,
oh,
Dan
wait
made
a minute.
It.
Yeah, Dan did make it.
Because I saw Dan, the video, the smoke-filled video.
Dan made it. I don't know how. He grabbed second, third, fourth gear and somehow got out of there under his own power. Yeah, he did make it. Dan did make it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So somebody redeemed everybody.
Oh, it was and that's a big rig. I mean, that's no little crawler, lightweight crawler. That thing's just a big girl.
It's big. It's tall. It's heavy.
Yeah,
it's
yeah, and lots of power.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, we continued up. You know, windshield 3.5. And I thought they were going to play a little bit on that ledge, but even that ledge is just too steep.
They call that
In the Snail Trail podcast.
Yeah.
Captain Morgan. They're calling that Captain Morgan.
Is that the rock that Kobe broke?
Kobe broke a rock just right there at Captain Morgan. Yes, with his front differential or something.
Perfect.
Yeah, and then continued up 4. We had a good time in 4 because that's beat up, and that's a tough.
Was that rock still a problem?
It was off to the side.
Okay,
but it's still gnarly. And then of course then we were right there at the cistern, and then up and out on 5. So, but great day,
cool,
lots of fun. I don't, other than the one, Timmy's little fuel issue, I think nobody pulled out a wrench or anything, which was great.
Right on.
and then, yeah, we got back to camp and then just partied. You know, it was just a really fun day.
Wash, rinse, repeat.
It was. It really was. I was doing my famous lamb chops that night.
Ooh.
So that was awesome, and I told the boys to come on up, Utah boys, and Robert and Donna, and
uh-huh.
Like, hey, come on up. Well, they didn't show, and we're like, what the hell? And so so we partied, had a great time, and then Friday morning we did breakfast at Lacey Peak.
Right, I heard
so
about
we loaded
that.
Up the Camp Chef grills, made a... And this was a tip that we got from Robert and Donna. They said, hey, instead of water for your pancakes, put beer in place of water.
Seriously?
So the beer cakes. And they because of the carbonation and stuff, and they're just real light and fluffy. And
uh-huh.
I'm like, hell yeah. So we went up there and made the beer cakes and bacon and eggs. And at the top of Lacey Peak, it was what we're just about 9,000 feet or so up there.
Oh, yeah, no.
Damn near 360 degree view. It was a beautiful morning, warm.
Mm-hmm.
It was definitely getting warm. You could tell the heat in the valley was coming up the hill there. But that was awesome. So hung out there for, Dave's nephew, Caleb.
Cool.
He had his drone out there.
Oh, cool.
So hopefully, I think he got some great drone shots, so I'll have to see cool. How that turns out. And I'll have to share those on the gram.
Yeah,
but
last time I had a drone up there that crashed into my camper.
That's right. That's right. Well, not on Lacey Peak, but yes.
Right.
So, and then we're like, okay, let's go back, because it was getting warm, and we hung out on the lake for a while. Did Lake Day finally got out on the kayak.
Cacking.
And then that afternoon, of course, there was some libations being poured at the lake and after the lake. Yeah, I know.
Drink is bad for you.
Well, it felt good. It felt good.
Did it feel right?
It felt awesome. And we had dinner, and then I'm like, okay, cornhole tournament. So we had 4 boards, two teams could two games going at once. And normally Jesse and I are paired up. We've been undefeated,
Well, you broke my spirit early in the week. So,
what happened there?
You hold out every fucking bag. I'm like, dude, what is wrong? What are you doing?
I ruined you on cornhole.
Oh, I think you missed one. One, and I'm like, is there like
laser?
They're
laser guided.
That scene from Caddyshack on the
famous professor.
Famous professor. Got this from a famous professor. And whatever.
Anyways.
You did ruin me.
So Jesse and I split up, and I go, oh, this is going to be good. So James and I were partners. Samurai James.
So you got game?
Well, I'm like, dude, are you good? And he goes, I'm okay. And he was good. He was good. So him and I made a good team. And we started mopping the floor with everybody.
Nice.
So then Tommy and Jesse played against us, and they're both really good.
Right.
So we had a grudge match, best 2 out of 3, And we just sneaked by on that. They had us down. They had it. I mean, they were like already celebrating, you know, talking shit. And we came back and won.
Perfect.
And it was freaking, it was a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Good times. So, yeah, that was, we had the light set up. You know, okay. I mean, it was fully illuminated with the glow bug and then that DeWalt light.
Uh-huh.
Holy smokes, man. I was impressed that it was just a nice, even light lighting up the court there. So
you didn't have any helicopters try to come in and land?
No, but they could have. Yeah. They could have. And and then, of course, you know, I've got the blue LED rings on the cornhole boards for your nighttime enjoyment.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that helps you guide it right in there.
Was Lorenzo keeping score?
No. He actually was just chilling by the lake, watching the meteor shower still nice. Going on. Yeah. Yeah, he was having a good time. So then Saturday was, you know, breakfast and then start cleaning up, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Just, you know, we drag out so much crap.
Right.
That it's a long time to get things kind of blown off with a blower and semi-packed and put back in there.
Tables,
their bags and
stoves,
yeah, boxes and shit. Oh my god!
Utensils,
yeah,
plates, dishes, pots, pans.
Oh, that's it. And then the garbage, and it's just, you know, it's like, okay, where's all this crap going to go now?
Right. Just throw it in Kobe's rig.
Well, right. So we got most of the camp packed by 11 o'clock. 11:30, we were like ready to. We were going to go kayaking, and that's when, you know, Tyler and Jimmy. And the assistant was there.
Oh.
And not the secretary. Secretary was supposed to be there, but she didn't show.
So they arrived Friday night.
So Friday midday. Yeah, so once we were still up at Lacey Peak when Tyler and Hustle Nuts arrived.
Okay.
And then Jimmy and the assistant arrived later on that evening.
Okay.
Early evening.
Okay.
So, you know, of course, they're all fired up. They just got there, and unfortunately, we're winding down our trip, you know.
Sure.
But
well, you got to get there early.
Yeah, well, you know, it all works out, you know. People have to work. People got to do stuff. So, so they were all fired up Saturday morning to go do trail.
Right, right.
You
right.
know, so James, of course, James, anytime you say trail, he's gone. I mean, night run.
He could be asleep.
Full asleep,
up,
he's yeah. going to go run. So, James... And then Tyler and Hustle Nuts were riding in his buggy.
Right.
Hustle Nuts' buggy. And then I'm drawing a blank. Bobcat, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Jimmy and the assistant and Bobcat. And so they ran down and I said, okay, look, we're going to get cleaned up. We'll keep in radio contact, which we were able to keep in really good radio contact between, you know, Bobcat's got a good radio in it. I got a good radio in the buggy. So we were able to talk to them on Windchill 3.
Great.
I'm like, hey, where are you guys? Oh, we're on Windchill 3. And I go, okay, you know, how busy is it? And they go, oh, it's pretty busy out here, you know. And in fact, Randy Slauson just came up Windchill 3. And I
Randy.
Go, oh, well, that's cool.
Yeah.
So... I go to Tom. I'm like, hey, do you want to go down trail or do you want to go, you know, out on the lake kayaking again? And I said, I'm kind of leaning towards going down the trail and catching up with these guys, you know. So we did. Well, then also the Utah boys were headed down to fix one of their friends that had broke some studs that hold on the spring plate on the front axle. You know, where the differential housing is, and you can't get a U-bolt, you know, around the diff housing, so then they put studs there. My Jeep set up that way too.
Oh, okay.
So it's carved out, nice flat spot, spring sets on there, and you got two studs that you bolt your spring plate to. Well, both those bolts sheared.
Oh boy.
And so they're trying to get them out and of course drill it and then put the easy out, and the easy out broke. So then they were trying to weld, and so Tommy's got a welder on his rig, so he went down there so that Dan could spark it up and weld a nut on there, and then put a wrench on the nut and hopefully back out the stud. Plus, the heat of welding on it, you know, helps loosen it up as well and expand the steel. It didn't work. I mean, they gave it a valiant effort, and unfortunately, it didn't work. So we were down there for an hour and a half. I was mainly just supervising and drinking some frosty beverages,
so
observing.
Water.
Yes.
Sparkling water.
Yes, sparkling water. that had Blue Mountains on it.
Oh, okay.
And then so they couldn't get it. So I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. I said, hey, just, you know, bolt it up best we can and let's get them back up the trail. So they did, and they were able to get them back to camp.
Okay.
So by that time, right when we were coming down, they were coming up Windchill 4, Jimmy and Hustle Nuts and James. And so I said, hey, we're working on this rig, you know, we'll be behind you. So they continued up, and then they went up and out and back to camp, and then we were behind them.
Yeah, from 1-4, it's a hop, skip, and
yeah,
a jump,
exactly. So that was really cool. So we're back at camp, and I'm looking. This is Saturday.
Right.
And two rigs, two buggies came up and parked over by Kobe's camp.
Okay.
You know, so the outskirts of our camp, and they went down to the lake to go, you know, swimming and stuff. And so I went up there and I'm looking at these buggies and I'm like, holy crap, this is like the most simplistic buggy I've ever seen.
Okay.
And I started looking at it and I go, oh, this is freaking Slauson's buggy.
Oh, okay.
And sure as shit it was.
Cool.
And I mean, just if it doesn't need to be there, it wasn't there. I mean, wow. I'm surprised it had a steering wheel, to be honest with you. I mean, this thing was so minimalistic, but badass.
Right.
I mean, it was so freaking cool. And I wanted to talk to him about it, just like what his build philosophy was and stuff. I mean, it's got, you know, this.
He's a bomber.
Cadillac. It's
bomber?
Well, of course. Yeah, that's his company, the bomber chassis, right? And he's right there out of Gardnerville, Minden area. Yeah, in Nevada. And so it's got a little four-cylinder Cadillac turbocharged freaking engine.
Okay.
And then so there's no firewall or anything. You know, there's no hood. Uh-huh. There's an intercooler up front for the turbo.
Okay.
And then in the back, you look, it's just super clean. Of course, it's all TIG welded and beautiful. But the radiator's tucked way back up in the back. You know, at a slant. I mean, you really have to look for it to see it. And then the steering wheel, the only thing, you know, since there's no firewall or anything to mount the steering wheel to, he's got a little bracket that he welded to the side of the cage that holds the steering wheel shaft. Because now, mind you, the steering wheel just goes down shaft to, you know, an orbital valve because it's full hydro.
Yeah.
You know, so the orbital valve sitting right by the engine.
Okay.
And then I'm like, there's zero gauges. Like, I like to know my water temp, you know, and oil pressure, at least, at a minimum. I need to know that.
Dummy lights?
Nothing. Nothing. It's, I mean, you're looking right at the damn engine. It's right in front of you. So I guess if it starts steaming or smoking, you know it's getting hot.
Or if it stops running.
Yeah, or if it stops running, something's wrong. I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's just like, Buggy, just run it till it stops. I don't know.
Well, yeah, you think that the wiring harness for that engine would need...
Oh, it's got to be dumbed down big time. He's got to have that thing flashed and just super simple. I mean, it's just going to start... So to turn the damn thing on, I mean, there's a kill master kill switch, right?
Uh-huh.
Like most buggies have. And then there's like two other switches, but one of those switches has to be for lights because he's got rigid lights on it for night wheeling. So, I mean, it's like one switch on. I don't know. And there's it's an automatic. So okay. He's got the you know, art car, you know, shifter. But then it's just one little tiny little shift lever for the transfer case. So it's not even twin stick.
So not an Atlas.
No, it's not an Atlas.
Interesting.
And
so
but
you didn't talk to him.
No, I didn't. Spider track axle, you know, of course, badass wheel wood brakes in the back.
Sure.
And you know, but he had 1-ton stuff in the front, brake wise. And I'm just like, this thing is just, I've seen it in pictures and on the gram, but until you see it in person to really appreciate how simplistic it is, it's just like, damn.
And this guy's got a 4,400 car to make you drool too.
Well, and he's a badass driver too. I mean, he's knows what the hell he's doing. So, anyways, I'm just like, okay, this is cool. Well, it finally dawned on me that this is Randy's car, and then you know put two and two together when they said, okay, yeah, he was down at Windchill 3 plan, and I want to see this whole video that Tyler took. I guess there's like a 5-minute video that Tyler
took.
And he just watching him, you know. Inch his way up windshield 3 in the box and maneuvering the front end, and you know, because there's no cutting brakes, there's, you know, you can't do a front dig, it's or and there's steer. No fancy shit, no rear steer, you know, it's a drag axle. It's like, holy crap. So if they were camped right up from us, and I almost walked up there and just wanted to introduce myself, and you know, if they were busy or didn't want to talk, fine, I'd leave. But I you know, a little regretful I didn't go up there and chat with them. But I'll see them around at other stuff. But that is a cool freaking buggy.
I wish I was there for that. I mean, he's one of the elite, and that's one of the ones we definitely want to connect with.
Yeah, so. I'd love to get him on the podcast. Rodney, you know, Hot Rod, Latte, get a rod, and I were just drooling over this rig, you know. Uh-huh. So, anyways, so that was super cool because, you know, this is one of the toughest trails in NorCal for sure.
Sure.
You know, I wouldn't say it's the toughest trail in California because of the hammers. I mean, there's some hammer trails that are just absolutely
full
insane.
Of love.
Yeah, full of hate.
Full of hate. I hate you. I love you.
Dude. So okay. So then I got to get. We're you know. There's so many stories, but got to get to Saturday night campfire.
No.
So no.
No.
Okay. We really don't need to talk about it.
I regret. I'm this. I've heard the stories, and you're going to tell it. I'm happy I missed it, and I'm glad I missed it.
Yeah. That is one of those happy and yes. Yeah. That's well said. Because it was by far the funniest campfire of the week up there. We must have had 30 plus people around the campfire.
Okay.
And so the Utah boys came up, of course, Robert and Donna from Windham, I mean the whole crowd, and then camping with Robert and Donna was the family of the previous camp host that we loved, Richard. So they were up there, their whole family, and
they had the AMC.
Yes, the AMC Eagle with the rooftop tent, which is just freaking classic.
That was cool.
I loved it. And Jimmy put that on his page, so on the Snail Trail 4x4 page. I know I got a couple pictures somewhere. I got a ton of photos to go through.
Yeah, you and I drove by and took two pictures of it.
Yeah, I got to get a photo up on the gram of that thing. That thing was badass. But anyway, so all of us around the campfire. Of course, everybody had dinner and feeling no pain. And just, you know, I was sad because it was the last night up there. And this great event was coming quickly to an end. And I'm like, okay, I was drowning my sorrows. And I go, okay, I'm having Blanton's the last night because somebody ran away with the rest of the old elk.
Who?
Lorenzo? Who was that, Lorenzo? Who? Yeah, he's pointing at you right now, Chris.
Put your hoof down.
Yeah. I think he's trying to flip you off.
He's throwing me under the bus. That's what he's doing.
So I had Blanton's. And so Jimmy, you know, he's like a bloodhound. He sniffs out. He goes over to my camper and goes inside and he goes, oh, Blanton's.
Well, that was a tough one.
Yeah, it was the only bottle sitting out. So, because I had packed everything else away, so he poured some, and then Stone Cabin Jeff, the mayor of Meadow Lake, came and joined us that night. He's great.
Right.
So many great stories and stuff, and he's just so mellow. So I poured him a couple fingers of Blanton's, and I'm like, you know, and he goes, oh, the good stuff. I'm like, well, so last night, got to go out with a bang, you know. Here we go.
Nothing but the good stuff.
So, anyways, and he enjoyed the old elk, too. We gave him some old elk before we ran out. But, anyways, we're sitting there, and so I'm like, okay, I am just drinking whiskey tonight in my glass with my big-ass ice cube.
Right.
That's it. And I stayed to that.
Good.
Because I am a PRO professional.
Well, some people aren't.
And so was Jimmy, and so was Jeff that was next to me. But everybody else around the camp, I shouldn't say everybody because not everybody, but I think Timmy brought out this 1.75 of Fireball.
That would be a handle, ladies and gentlemen.
Handle of Fireball, which is just, I was just, it's like the anti, it's like kryptonite, man. Just get that shit away from me.
It's like kryptonite, right. Yeah, no, that's bad news.
So man. It gets passed around the campfire. Now, you know what's interesting? Because in the days of old before COVID, everybody would be slugging off the bottle, right?
Yeah.
People were pouring it into their cups.
Right.
So, you know, it's, you know, that's better.
Being responsible. responsible.
Yeah. what you said. So this thing's going around. I'm watching it, and of course, I'm just like hard no past. I don't even want to touch the damn bottle.
Well, that's what I was like the previous nights when the moonshine was going around, because you know you had Dave with the orange creamsicle.
That orange creamsicle moonshine is incredible.
What else did he have? Did he have apple pie?
He had apple pie, but then that blackberry.
Blackberry
was outstanding.
Yeah. I had none of it.
Yeah, so that was outstanding.
Right on.
So, anyways, none of that came around that night because Dave was gone.
Oh, that's right. He was gone. He drove out.
Yeah, they all left Saturday. So, anyways, we're there, and I'm watching this bottle level go down and down, and the debauchery is going up and up, and people are starting to fade, just get faded. And there's so much sugar in that fireball, and you get that. Oh, God, just thinking about it gives me a headache. So Dan was he gone. He was on a different level. Tyler was on a different level. It was highly entertaining because I was buzzed, but I was not out of it, and it was just so much fun to watch and listen to the conversation. I think I actually recorded some of the conversations too on the phone. It was just hilarious.
Man.
Those won't reach the airwaves there, but
no. Bad tease.
Oh,
bad tease.
So nights, the bottle runs out.
So how late is it?
It's pushing 10:45, 11-ish. So it's got to be close to 11.
It's pretty late.
It's got to be close to 11 at this point.
Right.
And we're tired. So Dan throws the bottle in the fire.
Oh, good.
Cracks a neck off the bottle.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, somebody says something, he reached back in the fire, like, don't put it in there. And so he reaches back in the fire, grabs the handle by the handle, and pulls it out, and it's like a lantern because what's left of the fireball inside this thing that is burning off the sugars, right?
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, oh, my God. So, anyways, it was hilarious. So, luckily, they got him back to camp safe. It was only 500 yards up the road or so, but someone else drove his truck back to camp because he was in no condition to be hopping into that 500 horsepower race car that he has there.
I heard the next morning he was lips down.
No, so that night Tommy went to go. See, probably throwing Dan under the bus here, but he made it into his camper, but the door wouldn't close because his feet was sticking out. So Tommy went up there to say goodbye to him because Tommy knew that he was leaving early in the morning, And he goes, yeah, I went up to say goodbye to Dan, but his feet were sticking out the camper, and he was laying on the floor, and they threw him a blanket and a pillow. And I said, oh, boy. So I didn't know that. And then so the next morning, I headed out at 7:30, and I was saying goodbye to Robert and Donna and, Richard's family and everything, and then go across, and Tim was up. But nobody else in that camp was awake. But and Timmy goes, yeah, we kind of had to shove Dan into his camper to shut the door because he passed out.
Wow.
And so Tyler, so now I go, hey, we got to record a podcast. I was supposed to record a podcast up here. And so Jimmy's to my left, Tyler's to my right. I'm in the center. I get the podcast gear out, get everything wired up good. And start to go, and Jimmy and I are good, but drunk, but good. Tyler was just gone.
Wow.
And he, we started talking and doing our thing, and of course it was like trying to keep squirrels in a bag. I mean, it was just, shit was going everywhere.
Two monkeys humping a wall.
Yeah, and so... So Tyler's like in the middle of this conversation and he just puts the mic down and gets up and goes behind the bear box and tosses his cookies.
Ralph!
Selling Buicks to the Porcelain King.
Yeah, Jesus.
And I'm like, oh, this is... And and luckily I'm okay. I could hear people throw up and it doesn't cause me to throw up. But I'll tell you, that was not good.
Yeesh.
That was not good. And then he came back like everything was... Because you always feel better right after you throw up. You know,
the
you're like a
still
new...
Spin.
Yeah.
Did you tell him to toss an anchor?
Yeah, I did. I told him to throw an anchor. So anyways, then we actually got into a good conversation. And I guess this is going to be patron only content because it's pretty raw. So then Tyler gets up again and tosses his cookies again, and then Jimmy and I kind of like wrapped up a few things, and then I'm like, okay, we got to put a bow on this thing. This ain't good. And we continually, when you listen to this, we apologize. We go, sorry Chris for editing this. Sorry, Chris. So
when it airs, this is what it's going to sound like.
Beep. It is pretty much. Sorry, Chris. Now there's some good conversation, and there definitely some slurred speech.
Wow.
So Sunday morning, 7:30, got up and got out of there, and it sucked. But you know, that was that. So that's my short version of.
So was Tyler awake when you left?
Yes, no. And that was what was amazing. So. You know, I got up at 6:30 and I had quite a few things to like tie down and stuff and get inside the camper and everything. So I'm busy doing all that. And Tyler walks by and I'm like, holy smokes, the walk of the living dead. What's going on here? I go, how do you feel? And he actually looked okay. I mean, you know, I was considering... You know, after what he had, I thought, oh, he's going to be just, you know, crawling. But he was upright, walking, forming sentences. I'm like, that's impressive. And I go, dude, your phone's over on your ottoman. He calls it his ottoman, his little footstool there. Wow. And his jacket. And, you know, and I said, I got to get a picture with this. So the fireball bottle, somebody had stuck it inside my buggy.
Oh, geez.
On the passenger seat. So I pulled that out and I got a photo of it. That will go up on the gram. And I got a picture with Tyler holding that bottle.
Oh, boy.
I said, I want to take a picture with you with this bottle. So every time you say, oh, let's have some fireball, I'm just going to show you this picture. And all these memories are going to come flooding back to you of why not to drink fireball in excess or at all.
Peppermint schnapps for me.
Oh, that's another one.
That was high school.
Jägermeister. Yeah. Everybody's got those stories. Tequila. Tequila is a common story.
I don't have a problem with tequila. I just, anyway. Wow. But,
yeah, so apparently he got his camp folded up and put it all into his RAV4.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost took his refrigerator. He's got a new ARB fridge.
Oh, really?
He wouldn't have known. The door was wide open. It was just sitting there, and I could have shuffled it off. I could have blamed it on Lorenzo or something. Oh, yeah, I don't know. But anyways, he gets in there and sits down and I guess fell asleep in his car.
Nice.
After we took off, so
was he supposed to drive out with Hasselnuts?
They were all driving out together, I guess they left around 10 o'clock or so.
Oh, okay.
But that was 3 hours later than I did.
You got a little nappy nap in,
yeah, 2.5 hours later. So, anyways, that was that. A wonderful trip, great people, lots of stories.
Oh yeah.
In the trail, I mean, I think I did the trail a total of 9 times between. You know, day runs, night runs, all that stuff. The stargazing was awesome with the shooting stars going on. You know, having Amber drive chauffeur me back up the trail from Windchill 3. Yeah. You know, wheeling with Ultra 4 Jones and his wife Mallory. That was awesome. I mean, it just and James and Rhonda, that was their first trip, and they just it was fun. I always like it when new people are up there because. You know, I still enjoy the hell out of it, but when you see new people that have never been up there before and it really, you know, it's like taking a kid to Disneyland the first time and they're just like super excited.
Rekindles your excitement.
Yeah. And they're the fire in their eyes and they're just like, oh my God, this is like so cool. And I'm like, yeah, well, this is why we do this. This is how we roll, you know, these dinners and everything and lots of fun. So, and I'm glad you were up there. You were up there for a good chunk of that time. So, and got to do the trail and. It was a successful trip.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I hated to leave, but I'm sad I missed some of the rest of the spectacle. But, yeah, I mean, life goes on, you know, and I had to split, but I'm glad you guys all had fun.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, repairs were minimal. All I had to do was pull out a wrench, a 12-millimeter wrench to tighten up my front driveline flange bolts.
Oh, that's it, huh?
Yeah, they were just kind of starting to loosen up on me, but everything else, I mean, it was great. Tom had to do a little modification on his Bronco he was coming up the trail. And one of the pins walked out or something on the shifter for his Atlas, so he couldn't get it out of low range, which is fine on the trail.
Right.
But running around camp and stuff, he wanted to get out of high range. So we had to do some surgery on his rig and got that put back together. But other than that, I mean, we weren't. I mean, because sometimes it's nothing but just repairs every night in camp.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the year that Olson's rig blew up, or Dave, that, you know, I don't know what year that was, but that was a pretty big repair job.
Yeah.
I don't think you guys ever got it put back together.
No, we drug it on the trailer and got him at where he could roll it, but that was about it.
I think he drove it and brought it home broken.
Yeah. So,
So, yeah. Well, I mean, overall, successful trip.
It was. And then I was on my way home Sunday, and then that's when we had all these lightning strikes that you mentioned earlier in the podcast.
Ooh.
All this dry lightning, 11,000 strikes. That's what I heard on the news. You know, I don't believe the news, but
you know, typically here we'd see, you know, 1, 2, 3, 10 lightning strikes, something like that, and it's kind of one and done, and off it goes. This went on for hours, and it was like, holy! I was at work. And I started my crew. The storm was way to the west of us.
Okay.
And I'm kind of like, watching it. I'm out unlocking gates and doing my thing. And I'm like, it's getting a lot closer. I called my lead guy on the radio, and I said, hey, it was at 6:15. I said, bring the crew in. This is not good. And I went to the pro shop, and I was like, hey, I'm bringing the crew, and we got a lot of lightning, and it's scary. And, dangerous. And
danger, Will Robinson.
Talking to some members, and we're going to tee off.
Of course they are.
I'm going to play. I'm going to keep going.
What did Bob Hope always say? That even God can't hit a 2-iron or a 1-iron when the lightning struck?
I don't know what he said.
Or was it Lee Trevino?
I don't know.
Lee Trevino got struck by lightning.
Did he?
Yeah.
Answers a lot of questions.
Yeah.
Explains a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but yeah, people continue to play golf, but I pulled the crew. But it was crazy. And then, of course, the wildfires all started.
Ugh.
It's all been downhill from there.
Holy shit. So, yeah, I got a text from my mom, and she sent a picture from our home, and she lives right near me, and looking up at the hills behind us, and there's this big plume of smoke behind us, and I go, oh, crap. But it was way off, and I could see, literally, as I was coming through Livermore and stuff, I could see 6 fires, six plumes of smoke going there, and I'm like, oh, this is not good. And it was, dry. So I get home, unpack, and then Monday morning, start monitoring this fire situation, and it's not getting any better.
No.
It's getting worse. And then Tuesday, it was starting to come direction of our neighborhood.
Right.
And I'm like, holy crap, is this really happening right now? And you hear about people, preparing and, what do you pack? What do you take? You got your to-go bag. You pull stuff out of your safe. What do you do? Well, until you're in that situation, it's pretty surreal. And you're trying to, you're walking through the house and you're like, okay, I need my remote. I need my dog. I need my chair. But you're like, you walk by a picture and you're like, that's irreplaceable, And then you're looking at other stuff. You're like, okay, I can go buy that again or whatever, TVs and shit.
TVs,
no big
stereos,
deal.
Forget all that shit.
So, but then, all the stuff in the safe and your guns and, and then I'm like looking in the wine cellar, like, where do I even start? Do I take a case of the best bottles I've got, or what do I do? And then the bourbon collection.
I'd sit in there just drinking.
Well, and then that thought crossed my mind. I thought, well, I could just turn on a sprinkler on the roof of the wine cellar and then just let it go. And, I don't know. But it just, so I loaded up the camper back on the truck because I had it off the truck to clean. So I did a quick unpack, clean, and repack, put everything in there, set everything up out front. We were able to relocate some vehicles to a friend's shop in, about 15, 20 miles away where they'd be safe. And then the rest of the stuff, my snowmobile and stuff in the garage, and I'm just like, it's all insured, guess. It sucks, but...
Yep.
So I loaded up the rock buggy on the trailer because I'm like, that's not insured and I need to, I might need that someday.
Right.
To do Rubicon and our Fordyce again and King of the Hammers. But anyways, loaded up and I slept out front for the couple nights. We were under mandatory evacuation, but like all my buddies said and stuff that work for police and fire, they're like, hey, they're not going to force you to leave. It's up to you, but you know, you should leave if you see flames coming down that hill. And I said, absolutely. Luckily, we didn't see that. The wind shifted and blew it away from us, and actually kind of this one fire that I was real concerned with is blowing right back into itself that had burned 3-4 days earlier. So
it'll burn itself.
It looks like, yeah, that's, I just checked it before this podcast, and it's going that direction. Our evacuation, luckily, has been lifted, but still on guard, and now they're seeing a chance of more stuff coming in. So I don't know. You look at the state map of California, all the fires going on. It's insane.
Nuts.
The Boulder Creek area, you know,
yeah,
that got
older
devastated.
Lives up that way, so you know, he got evacuated.
Yeah,
so.
headed towards that's there in the Santa Cruz Mountains, and you know, headed right down to the ocean, and you know, further south, and I mean, it's just, and then here in Morgan Hill, Gilroy, you know, it's.
Brentwood area.
Brentwood.
Napa.
I mean, it's just
Napa's burning.
Napa,
again.
Santa Rosa. It's just like, holy shit.
You know, I mean, all of, like, Lake Berryessa is surrounded by flames.
Yeah. And I've heard stories of friends that we know up there, and it's just, it's a bad, bad situation. This whole week, it's just been a shitty week. And I those of you that follow us on Instagram, Wheeling Wine and Whiskey, you know, I posted last night. We're recording on Saturday. So Friday night, it just, the week just absolutely freaking sucked, and I put on there, this week could go F itself.
That's right.
I had a picture of the martini, vodka martini I made.
Well, let's have another drink.
Yeah, let's do it.
So that's what's going on. We're living in smoke, heat. Heat wave is kind of tapering off a little bit. Now, you know, to continue the bad news, I mean, the forecast shows a possible chance of more dry lightning starting tomorrow through Tuesday.
Yeah.
I don't know where that's going to track. Hopefully that's wrong.
Yeah. Oh, well, and if it is going to be, let's get some rain. If it's going to thunderstorm, you know,
yeah,
let's get
shit.
A good rainstorm.
Wet lightning.
Yes.
White lightning.
Yes.
So, all right, give us good thoughts, everybody, all of our listeners, because California needs them right now.
And I'm sure there's a lot of our listeners that know somebody or is affected and have evacuated. So, thoughts and prayers are with you, because this shit sucks.
It does. So,
all right, well, yeah. So I got a extreme dose of reality coming back.
Yeah, no, well, we all
you,
did.
You did too, so. Coming back to work, and you know, it just, yeah. But hey, on the good side, we got some good stuff here.
What's that?
We've got another patron.
We do. So yeah, I want to give a big shout out to our friend Ellen, who is our latest patron.
Nice,
thank you
Ellen.
So much. Yeah,
right on, Ellen. Thank
Very
you
cool.
for supporting the podcast.
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, it's good stuff.
And again, no money goes to Lorenzo. That's right, Lorenzo. This is gonna pay for and you know what we got. So we got in the mail. Just got in the mail yesterday.
What's that?
Koozies.
Oh, that's right.
So we have koozies that Dirtbag Johnny hooked us up with.
Dirtbag Johnny.
Black koozies with our logo. Our logo's impregnated in them. It's really cool.
Did you say impregnated?
They are. They're impregnated. I mean, it's like in it. It's not like I don't know. How do they do that?
That's awesome. They stick to each other really well.
They do. So they are magnetic, but they will stick to the side of your rig, but not with a full can in it. So we're working on that.
Wah, wah, wah.
they upgraded the material on the back, but unfortunately it's nylon and it's slippery. But it will stick to your refrigerator.
So it'll be handy.
You know, so it's easy to grab.
It's easy to grab
and put your drink in it. But, you know, your drink will slide down your refrigerator.
We're still learning, folks.
Well, it was going to be an upgrade. There was more magnets and stuff. But, you know, live and learn.
Live and learn.
That's part of the deal. But they're super cool. They're nice. Neoprene material. Neoprene.
Oh, these
neoprene.
Are the thick ones. Yeah,
they're thick. They're high quality.
They're going to keep your beverage cold.
It definitely going to work. And you know, I mean, the majority of the time you're not sticking it to a metal surface, anyways. They're all individually wrapped for your protection, so that's good.
These are very nice.
Yeah. So.
To post a picture.
We're going to get those up. They're going to be on our website for sale. And you know, if you see us out on the trail, we may hand you one too. Who knows?
Or throw it.
We'll see.
You.
So that's really cool. Hey, we've got a review as well, right? A couple of reviews or something, do we?
Yeah, I think so.
I know. I just sent off a couple stickers this week. People that had written us reviews. Ryan Jones.
Right.
Yeah, so he was one of them that wrote a review. And we appreciate those reviews, and this is good. I think we're over 100 reviews now, Chris.
I think we're like 101.
So that is outstanding. 101. So unbelievable. It helps us out a ton because, I don't know, you know, we talk about the monkeys throwing darts at a geo for all that. But it definitely, you know, it's gives us credibility. And we've got a great following right now. We've built up over the past year and super appreciative of that. So, thank you. Thank you so much for those coveted 5-star reviews. So, anyways, that's what you find it there, Chris?
I'm working on it.
You're working on it?
So what was the R.W. Jones you said?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Love it.
So, Ryan Jones.
R.W. Jones. I love it. I'm a Toyota guy that likes to wheel and drink, so y'all's show is very fitting. He's a Toyota guy.
Uh-oh.
Love the banter and y'all. Boy, he's a Southern boy, I guess.
Yeah, he's in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I believe.
Nice. Does he know Kobe?
He talks should. Like him. He might.
Y'all never fail to keep me entertained. Also, Tennessee isn't a dry state. Oh, my bad.
Yeah. Well,
parts of it were.
Parts of it, right? Where Jack Daniels is, you can't. That's a dry area? I don't know.
Yeah, so he goes on. Moore County.
Oh,
where
yeah.
Where Jack
County.
Daniels is produced is a dry county.
Well, there you go.
That's ironic.
I know.
They get around that by selling a gift box.
That's right.
With a bottle inside from the distillery shop. Ha! Keep it up. Very cool.
Love it.
Learning things every day. I didn't know that.
See?
So now
we are an educational podcast at many different levels.
That's right. So yeah, we let's see what else.
So some of that I will say right here that Uncle Nearest, whiskey, this the 1856 that we were sampling earlier. So
that what we're calling it?
Uncle Nearest, 1856. So he, Uncle Nearest, taught Jack Daniels how to make whiskey.
Well, then we should have
So it's very, I'm just tying everything back in together to Jack Daniels, Tennessee,
okay.
All that. And, you know, I got to talk to Ryan because that Chattanooga whiskey.
Chat.
Yeah, Chat whiskey that Ian Johnson likes and raves about is right there in his town. So got to, or at least in his state.
Trade.
So I don't know how far away it is there. But I would love to hear his comments on that. So, Ryan, reach out and let me know if you've tried that.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, we hear it's good, but we want confirmation.
Yeah,
on that.
Yeah.
So then we got, let's see, we have a couple more. We got what the hell?
You want to buy a vowel?
Retire on RE. Man, my glasses are failing me right
now. Uh-oh. The fogging up and the smoke.
There's
smoke in the air. That's the problem.
Let me blow it up a little bit here. There we go.
You want me to hold the computer down here? Oh, boy. Sucks getting old.
All right. Just plain legit. This is one of my go-to podcasts. These guys are the real deal. Great mix of off-road knowledge, whiskey talk, and interviews. They even reply to Insta messages. Hell yeah, we do.
Yeah, try.
I was in need of some help in picking up my first bourbon, and the boys were quick to give me advice. They opened my eyes to the world of bourbon, and now I have over 20 bottles.
Wow. Really?
Yeah, 20 bottles.
We spurred on a little bourbon collection.
So there's 20 bottles of Old Elk, or is it 20 different bottles?
I don't know.
I can go for 20 bottles of Old Elk.
20 bottles of Old Elk would be a great collection.
That would last Lorenzo about 10 days.
No, he's doing good. He's just a sipper now. He's just a sipper.
Sipping a bottle a day?
No. He's doing much, much better.
Okay. He's detoxing from Meadow Lake. All right. Love the episodes. Keep up the good work. And let crush the snail trail yotards in reviews.
Yes.
Nice.
Woo-hoo. Thank you.
Thanks for that retire one, RE. Let's see. Then we have, I think, one more. Actually, oh, there's a couple. A few more. Holy moly.
Really?
We might want to save some of these. Cool. All right. There's more. We'll read these in the next episode. We'll hold off to the next episode.
Oh, look at you.
Nice.
So this nice little, like, you got to tune in for more.
That's a tease.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, thank you again for the reviews.
The new patron.
And if you and the new patron, Ellen, and if you write a review, 5-star review, DM me, and I will send you a sticker, a Wheeling Wine and Whiskey sticker.
Sweet. Hey, I know you kind of made a brief mention a while back about another giveaway.
Yes.
Are we going to go forward with that?
We are.
Sweet. What are we going to do? It's going to be a Patreon one, right?
This is going to be patron only.
Woo-hoo.
So we need to work out the details, but we will do a patron only Element Fire Extinguisher E50
right.
Fire Extinguisher giveaway. So our last contest was a success. Florida Frank won. Yep. Mud Raider. And we're going to do another one again on the gram.
Right.
I'm working out details on that one, but we are going to do a patron-only one. So you and I need to talk about this, but right now there's 15 patrons.
15.
So your chances are 1 in 15.
Keensay.
1 in 15 of winning the Element Fire Extinguisher. So we'll work out the details. We'll release it on the next podcast of what's going to go down
right.
with this thing, but we'll figure it out, and of course it'll be on the gram to let people know.
But remember, you need to be a patron to be
for
eligible.
That one contest, correct?
Exactly.
For any, you know, odds are very good.
So you can go to www.patreon.com/WheelingWineAndWhiskey to sign up and become a patron.
Is that on our webpage yet?
I don't believe it
okay,
is.
Okay, well, that's your homework this
that's
week.
That's my homework.
Lorenzo, get on that shit. Your vacation's over with.
I know, right? I'll get on it. I'll flog Lorenzo. We'll
okay.
get him going.
Let's get that going. Also, so talking about the Element, there's still the discount code is still valid.
It is.
And I've seen a lot of my friends have showed them to me. And they're like, look what I got. So elementfire.com.
That's right.
And
or you can go to our website.
Or you can go to our website and click on the link. We have the Element Fire link on there.
It is there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So elementfire.com, and you can type in the discount code WWW10.
Right.
3 dubs and a 10.
And it's 10% off.
That will get you 10% off. Anything over $99 is free shipping.
Correct.
And, I mean, most people have been buying, you know, 3 or 4 of these things for all their vehicles, the RV, the kitchen, so on and so forth. So
4 trucks.
Yeah, whatever you need. I got one in my Ford truck. You just never know. I might need to put out a, you know, Toyota Fire or a Dodge Fire or something
that
like that.
You knew
that'd come back to you.
Fire
get you.
Across the volley across the bow.
That's you know? Right. So, but it is nice. And I showed them all the friends up there at Meadow Lake. And yeah, it's just very well received. They're like, holy crap, this is a fire extinguisher the last 50 seconds? Yes, it is. And it's easy to store. Non-pressurized, non-corrosive. I mean, it's just freaking great. So check that out at Element Fire. There's also some videos and stuff on there. And I don't know if he's got the new videos up. I haven't visited the website lately.
We
but
pop into their website after
I owe Rob a phone call, too. So
right on.
Anyways, check that out. I got a nice little package in the mail.
I see that. What is
from
that?
Dynatrac.
Ooh, axle people.
Yes, and there's not an axle because it's too lightweight and too small to be an axle. But no, what they did is
just add water.
Just is that what it is? One of those sponges. So what they did is they put together a what do they call this? The Dynatrac owners group. So, you know, I bought axles, I don't know, 15, 17 plus years ago.
Many moons ago.
From Mr. Jim McGean at Dynatrac. So they said, hey, write a review, you know, show us a picture of your rig with the Dynatrac axles and everything.
In action or just?
Well, of course it's got to be in action.
Okay.
You know. So sent them some photos, and then they send you these two metal badges you could put on your rig.
Badges?
We don't need no stinking badges, but these badges are pretty cool.
Right on.
Says Dynatrack equipped, confidence to explore, and I'll tell you, those axles been...
Those are way better than trail rated stickers.
Awesome. Yes, way better than trail rated. And then they throw in a shirt. A nice Dynatrack shirt.
Holy
so,
shit, look at you.
And a nice letter here signed by Mr. Jim McGean. So very cool Dynatrack. They have always stood behind their product. Anytime I had questions or issues, I'd call them up, and they have taken care of me very, very well. That has been one of those purchases I have not been disappointed with. They've, you know, every time I go wheeling, I'm like, don't have to worry about these axles.
I've heard that over and over again from people that have.
It's really good. Great customer support. Solid
product.
Yeah, and all the way around. So, anyways, that was cool. Got that in the mail, and a nice little swag there.
Sweet.
Another shirt to add to the collection.
Be rocking that at KOH, hopefully.
Yeah, yeah.
Right on. Hey, real quick, I just wanted to do a quick Ultra 4 update. On
yes.
schedule events.
What the fuck happened? Oh, wait, COVID happened.
Yeah, no, right? Everything, it's, you know, the one thing you can bank on right now is that there's going to be change.
Yeah.
Things are changing.
That's why, you know, we go ahead, talk about that. All I'm right. just Trail well, Hero. I'm just like, okay.
Well, you know, I really hope, I got my fingers crossed that Trail Hero happens for you this year.
And, yeah.
And I wish I could go, just the stars are not aligning for me on
right.
that. So,
right.
But, Ultra 4 Racing, you know, there's been some changes, a lot of cancellations, but we did get going again with the, you know, teardown in Tennessee, and that was exciting to watch.
That was great, and I watched that in the garage while I was prepping for Trek here.
Absolutely. So the next race that was supposed to happen was...
what was that, Chris?
Where is it here? It was... Jesus, what happened?
Oh, my God. Your computer is failing you today.
The Lasernut... race that was supposed to be in Reno.
Yes, Wild West Motorsport Park.
Which is cool. And
which
and
we were...
Easy, we were
going to
go.
Yes, we were going. We already talked to some drivers that we wanted to interview that they had agreed to, and we're so stoked. And then we were up at Meadow Lake, and my little glimpse of reception that I got...
Had bad news.
It says Ultra 4 update, so I read it about an hour after it got released, I guess, or sent out via email, and I was pissed. I'm like, no way, the race got moved.
Yeah, they moved it to Moab, Utah. So same date, September 18th, mm-hmm. same weekend. It's just about 1,000 miles further away.
Yeah, Area BFE, which I believe is private property, and that is a super cool area. I got to go over and check it out. I didn't wheel much in that area. I did one little section, but I was able to check it out last time I was in Moab.
Okay.
And that is going to be a great place for a race, but unfortunately, it's just not in the cards for us.
Well, it'll be live streamed, fortunately.
It will, and I'll definitely be watching, but that sucks.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. It's also the same weekend as, you know, Esprit de Four's safety clinic.
Correct.
Fall clinic down at Hollister Hills SVRA. But the good news is if we're down there...
We got Wi-Fi.
They have Wi-Fi and internet in Area 5 now.
Dude, so we got to put up the big screen.
Maybe. Well, we got to figure that out. So anyway.
Okay.
That's good stuff. So, you know, it's unfortunate. The race is still going on. It's just in Moab instead of Reno.
So if we are down there, we could, because it's going to be live streamed, but it will be recorded.
Yeah.
So we could play it after the clinic on the big screen.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's make that happen.
That'd be pretty cool.
So there's that. And then I think the rest of the schedule was kind of going to hang tight. Then they've got the National Championship All Series Crossbar Ranch in Davis, Oklahoma on October 23rd. Yeah, and then wasn't it? That was it. I guess that was it.
Yeah, but next year's schedule, 2021 schedule, is pretty badass.
Yeah, so let me bring that up real quick.
They're going to do a race in conjunction with Sturgis.
Right.
They're going to do a race in conjunction with Moab, Easter Jeep Safari.
Right. That's, yeah, same week. Uh-huh.
I mean, it's just that it's pretty cool.
So
that's looking to be a great season lineup right there. Well,
of course, starting with King of the Hammers.
And then, yeah, well,
which
KOH.
Is January 29th.
Which is, if it 6th. Doesn't happen, it's happening.
Oh, yeah. No, there'll be a shit show happening yeah. down there, one yeah. way or another.
Yeah.
It'll be lawful or lawless.
True.
True. So,
yeah.
Anyway, that's the Ultra 4 update for what it's worth. Yeah, the race is going to happen. It'll be live streamed. It should be fun to watch. Would have been funner, more
oh,
fun.
Oh, would have been way cool.
More fun to watch it live. But anyway, that's that. So,
damn.
What else you got?
Damn it, Bobby.
Damn it.
Damn you, COVID. I got nothing else. I mean, we covered a ton here. It just thankful sitting in the home studio here, looking at the hills, even though they're a little smoky, but they're not charred, and yeah, everything's still here. So thankful for that. Thoughts and prayers are with all these people. We have some friends that are affected by this.
Yes,
one of the many fires going on here in California, and we have resources coming from all over.
Yes.
I even heard some fire teams from Australia are coming out.
It's a long
and
flight.
And Canada to help out. That's how bad it's gotten.
Oh, it's huge. Well, one of the big problems, too, is, you know, a lot of the fire crews are supplemented by prisoners.
Oh, let's not even get into that.
And the prisoners.
Let's not get into that.
It's just not a good
let's
situation.
Let's not get into that because that's total bullshit right there.
Well, whatever. So anyway.
So.
Thoughts and prayers.
We're the non-political. We're trying yeah. to be the non-political podcast. That's right. yes, it is. Resources are thin.
Resources are thin.
But anyways, so I think that's it. Till next time, be safe, and hopefully, fingers crossed, Trail Heroes still a go as we speak. But I'm just waiting for that email message to go out that, sorry, we should have told you out front.
Knock on wood. On that note, we're out.